before maybe a bad result would have played on my mind for months, possibly even years at times, that if the results were bad. But in dance, it's subjective. See, if you're feeling down for a certain reason, so say it's like comments on social media, things, getting rid of your phone for a day.
Hey, I'm Katie J, and welcome to Young Scots New This Is How I Feel podcast, where we talk to guests who've grown up or live in Scotland about their experience and how they cope in the world we find ourselves in today. In each episode, we'll tackle a different topic with a brand new guest. And today, we are really looking forward to talking to Laura Davidson all about sports and mental health. Laura is the current British national and Scottish national champion in Irish dancing. She uses social media to share her love for the dancing world and introduce people to Scottish and Irish culture whilst promoting exercise and mental well-being. As a result of this, Laura was recently named in SPAE's 2023 Influence Report as one of the most influential Scottish influencers. Impressive. In fact, in 2023, Laura quit her job to pursue a career in social media full-time and hasn't looked back. So if you're not already following her, make sure you do. Now, Laura, we've got so much to talk about, but first off, thank you very much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me. I'm buzzing to be here.
Yeah. I was really impressed reading that spiel out there. How does it feel to hear that all kind of back to you?
It's a bit wild. It's all very surreal. Like, sometimes when I hear it, I'm like, oh, me?
Look at me go.
Old me.
But it's amazing, and it's absolutely wonderful to have you on to kind of dive into all of that exciting stuff that we covered. But before we really get into the nitty-gritty of it all today, whenever we have a guest on this podcast, we like to ask them how they're feeling today. So, Laura, how are you feeling today?
I feel amazing today. It's the start of a new week. It's Monday. I'm ready to go at it again. I always feel like Monday's a proper reset to the week. And I feel absolutely brilliant. It's not raining outside as well, so that's a brucey bonus.
Can I please bottle that up? Like, how the heck? On a Monday, I'm always just like, oh, even if it's a beautiful day and there's lots of exciting things happening. Have you always been a Monday person?
No, but no, is this new? I'm really focused on being really positive at the moment and just making sure my mindset's in the right place. So I feel brilliant, especially on a Monday. Yeah. And it just gets better as the week goes on because you're approaching the weekend then.
Yeah, but that kind of starting things off on the right foot and everything. Do you feel like once you start kind of believing that, it just follows suit and it naturally is how you feel?
Yeah, you just convince yourself that, you know, I'm really looking forward to tomorrow because, and then it turns into a reality for you, aye?
Right, I need to take that on. It wasn't raining this morning. We've got some exciting people to chat to. You've inspired me, Laura. We can end the podcast now. That's it. That's it.
You've got a full weekend.
I'm cured.
Perfect.
Now, it would be amazing to kind of go back to that list that we shared earlier on of all your incredible achievements and just find out a little bit more from you about how you got to where you are today, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so just start at the start.
Yeah, right. So you were born what year?
So 1997. I was born in Bells Hill, and that's where I grew up. I still live in Bells Hill. I went to a dead small high school, Taylor High School in New Stevenson. And, you know, I worked hard in school and got the results that I needed, or what I thought I needed, to get into university. I then went to university and I'd done a Master's of Engineering at the University of Strathclyde. I'd completed that.
Wow.
So I've got a Master's in Engineering that I don't use.
Well, that's some flex, by the way. Well done, you.
And then I ended up, when COVID and lockdown happened, I ended up getting really into social media and, like, eventually marketing, because everything was online at that time. So it was the sort of natural way that I went. And I ended up working in marketing for years, in social media, and then eventually that brings us to now I'm just doing it as my full-time job for myself, social media.
I mean, that feels like a more natural trajectory than the engineering degree, but...
Yeah, that was... What had happened was I've always danced, so I've always been an Irish dancer for as long as I can remember, and... what happened was the careers advisor at school sat down with me and they're looking at my marks, and you know, I was doing advanced higher physics and advanced higher maths and they're going, you know, you could do engineering. And I was going, oh, I don't want to be a dancing teacher. So they were like, no, but you'd be really, and this would be a good job. So I just kind of went in it and done it.
So then, the academic results were like, this is something you can actually achieve. So this would be brilliant. But the heart was somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
But I mean, they can't take that bit of paper away from you now. Well done, you. You smashed it.
I bring it up often enough to use it for that.
You should. Because that is incredibly challenging. And really, I mean, more credit to you for keeping the dancing going alongside that. Mm-hmm. Because I suppose then, by the end of those 4 years or whatever, you're going, nah, still love dancing more because you kept it going, right?
Yeah, yeah, all through that I danced. So it was at Strathclyde University, which meant I didn't have to move away from home. Mm-hmm. So the dancing was still continuous through all of that. And that it was 5 years at Strathclyde University. Mm. And all through those 5 years, you know, I still worked my part-time job. I still danced all the time.
Because it is quite a time-consuming hobby and now career, isn't it?
Yeah.
When did you get stuck into the Irish dancing?
Well, our family is very, like, they're big on Irish culture and heritage. And they all are in ceilidh bands. They all danced. All my cousins done some form of, you know, Irish culture outside.
You're like the Von Trapps, but for dancing.
Yeah, exactly. My two big sisters, they danced, so it was natural that I was just put into it. Yeah. And you know, none of us, we all went to competitions and stuff, and I went to more than anybody else, but I didn't really take it serious until probably after lockdown.
Really?
Where it was that the world shut down and I went, oh God, I can't do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And what I wanted to do was dance.
Not engineering.
Not engineering. So I took it really, really serious after that.
It's mad though, isn't it, how that time is obviously, we'll get onto this later, but it was devastating for so many people, but also for a lot of people, you experienced a type of clarity and, like, you know, repositioning of your life that you would never have really had the world not stopped for a minute.
Yeah. I mean, nobody wanted it to stop.
No.
But I think a lot of people maybe came out the other side as a bit of a different person. Mm-hmm. And sometimes for the better.
Yeah. So obviously in that time you learned a lot about yourself, but what key things kind of growing up have shaped who you are and what you've achieved? Because that kind of work ethic that you have to have when you're doing these competitions and all that,
yeah,
you know, that's crucial, I assume, to who you are today.
Yeah, well, first of all, the way you're brought up
in
the area you're brought up in really matters. And I come for, like, my mum is such a hard worker. Yeah. Like, she worked all her lives, like, she would be working night shift, so she was there for us during the day, you know, and not sleeping. And she worked really, really hard, and I knew that that's what you needed to do in life. You had to work hard to be able to provide, to be who you wanted to be. And then in the dancing, you know, yeah, I taught all these lessons of, like, if you work hard, you can achieve this, but also lessons about being accountable and being dependable, being punctual, turning up on time. Like, you learn all these lessons and it sort of shapes you into the person that you are.
Yeah. What an incredible role model in your mum as well, though. So she was working the night shift then, presumably driving you or taking you to different competitions and making sure that you were always on time, hair perfect, outfit on, all that stuff too.
Yeah. So as soon as I turned 17, she was desperate for me to learn how to drive.
Please, I can't work five jobs anymore because this one is already three.
Yeah. So she would be driving no matter where the competitions were, no matter, she would always make it happen for me. Wow. And, like, I'm so grateful for that. Like, it means so much to me. And my mum, like, I still live with my mum. Uh-huh. She means the world to me. And she done that all through my life so that I could be where I am today. And now I need to put in my own effort. Yeah.
It's just phenomenal, though, isn't it? And I do feel like often whenever things, any sport or any kind of passion, a young person gets that way where it's like, this is getting serious now. The parents are usually, right, well, this is my life now too. It really transforms everybody's kind of day-to-day routine. Yeah. So I'm glad that, you know, maybe she's getting a little bit of a break now.
I know. I mean, even now, she's using her annual leave.
Stop.
For competitions, yeah. So like she comes to all the competitions and she'll use all her holidays for that.
Does she love it though?
Absolutely loves it.
Yeah.
Loves it. She was asked recently, we were over getting my dancing dress in Belfast, and someone said to her, you know, it's nearly time that this is all going to come to a close. And my mum said, oh God, but I would go back and do it all over again. Like she was like, it's the friends my mum's made, the friends I've made. Like it's a family now. Yeah. Does, and she said she's got no regrets with it.
No. Well, how could she? I mean, look at your success speaks for itself, you know? And she is a massive part of making that happen, so she must just be delighted. So proud.
Yeah.
You're allowed to say you're proud of yourself as well. So aside from Supermum, what has helped you to get to where you are today?
So also in sport as well, all I talk about is the dancing. I'm just dead passionate about it.
Yeah, of course.
But I've got my dancing teacher, Sharon Taylor. I am so close with her. I think she's just the best person ever. I think that's what you need to find in a sport, is a coach that you love.
Yeah.
And she's almost like a second parent to me. So it's that pat on the back when you need it. And it's also the kick when you need it as well. Just absolutely everything. And the life lessons that I've learned from her, they just can't be replaced.
So do you think these kind of strong women in your lives have really shaped the entire trajectory of your life, I guess, then?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's the people you put yourself around and the environments you put yourself in really do shape who you are as a person.
Now, dancing is a massive part of your life. And I just wonder how having that as a constant has helped with your mental well-being, how it's kind of shaped you.
Well, exercise, you know, releases endorphins. I don't know if you've seen Legally Blonde, but they always say...
This is fantastic. Exercise. Sorry, now, I was like dozing off a little bit and now I'm back. Legally Blonde.
Endorphins. Like happy people don't kill their husbands.
True.
Yeah, so exercise releases endorphins. That's what they say in Legally Blonde.
The thing is, I know it is. Yeah. But I thought you were going to bend and snap. But no, yes, happy people don't kill their husbands.
Yeah, exercise releases endorphins. Endorphins make you happy.
Yeah.
Happy people don't kill their husbands.
Less murder.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It releases endorphins. It makes you happy.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about a runner's high and stuff like that. After you've exercised, the high that you're on is just phenomenal. So being part of a dancing class, for me, that makes that exercise so consistent. I also go to the gym outside dancing as well because I love the way that exercise makes me feel. Mm-hmm. And that has such a positive impact on your mental health. So that's like the science side of it, is exercise in the long run will make you happier. But with going to a specific dance class, I've also got the same people around me.
Yeah.
My best friends for life are in that class. It's friends that have turned into family. It wouldn't be unusual for me to drive home to my house and one of the people for dancing are in there having dinner with my mum. Some of my friends for dancing have keys to my house. They are family in there.
Yeah.
And we're all going through it together, through the highs and the lows. And the impact that that has on my mental well-being is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were in that kind of lockdown period and you were, removed from that kind of community, did that worsen your mental state or were you just on it about finding ways to make sure you get that dancing back in your life?
No, I was absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
See, during that full lockdown period, the world had shut down. My dancing teacher, as I said, she's absolutely amazing. She kept classes going on Zoom.
Wow.
So the classes were on Zoom and then eventually when the world was starting to open back up, we had classes outdoors in the car park that we had to stay metres away from it. We were dancing in our trainers, and you know, there was cars going past and beeping their horns.
Well, they would have been just like,
what's going on?
Same car going back and forth five or six times to suss it out.
Aye. So it was really, really difficult through that time because as much as the classes were going on Zoom and stuff, you weren't getting that human interaction that you would get. You don't get the same like vibes and energy as you are actually around people, and you're out with your routine too.
Yeah.
So I just found myself hating life. I was absolutely miserable, and it took a lot to get out of that. Even when the world had opened back up, it wasn't like, now I'm back to normal.
Yeah. And I think maybe because you've had such a concrete routine from quite early childhood, it's not like, we hear stories about people who did the Joe Wicks thing, got fit in lockdown, it became, running became their kind of second identity afterward. But for you, I guess, maybe it was the first time that you've realised just how much it was doing for your mental well-being.
Yeah, like that full get fit and healthy thing during lockdown, I went the opposite way because I'd spent all my life being fit and healthy.
Like, the sofa is nice.
But exactly. The first few weeks it was great, and then all of a sudden it was just terrible.
Yeah.
But I love being in that routine and having those, you know, massive highs and even the lows in dance class as well.
Yeah.
But being around people and exercising, it's more than a community to me. Like, as I said, it is a total family.
Yeah. Do you think you realised before that period how much it was doing for you mentally?
No. I don't think until sometimes it has to be taken away from you till you see how much you miss it and how much an effect it has on you. But I suppose now, knowing that, you know, that's the way I felt when I didn't have it, I'm so much more appreciative of it now.
Yeah, like renewed that passion all over again.
Exactly, yeah.
Brilliant. Amazing. I'm so pleased you can do it again. I'm like, oh my God, the thought of you on a sofa, it just doesn't work.
No, it
doesn't. It's not happening. It is a competitive environment. Now, of course, we listed your accolades earlier on. You are really flourishing in that environment. But you don't win every competition. Nobody does. So how do you cope with that competitive streak and picking yourself back up if there is, you know, I don't want to say failure because it's not the case, but if you maybe don't place where you thought that you would or you hoped that you would, and then, you know, the swings and roundabouts of it all, how do you kind of get through that?
So it's all about switching your mindset and what you believe in. So before, maybe a bad result would have played on my mind for months, possibly even years at times, that if the results were bad. But in dance, it's subjective. You know, you could be at the World Championships, you could be one judge's world champion.
Yeah.
And you could be not in the top 50 of the person sitting next to them. It's what they like. It's subjective. It's not running a race. So I've managed to totally block that out. It's more about performance for me and how I feel and how my dancing teacher feels about me dancing on the stage.
Yeah.
Whether we think it was good, that matters so much to me, that I'm going on and I feel great and I'm dancing and I'm enjoying myself and not so focused on the results, because when you are focused on the results, you're also sort of comparing yourself to other people as well. So I've managed to cope quite well with that. And then obviously there's the pressure side of it, as you said, with getting better results and stuff, you feel pressure. But again, it's flipping my mindset. So now I would see pressure as a privilege. I feel pressured because I've been doing well, and because maybe I'm performing well at most competitions, that I'm feeling that pressure that people are expecting good things. So I wouldn't see that as a bad thing necessarily anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I would go, it's good that there's a bit of pressure on me because people are expecting good things.
Yeah. Do you think that that shift, that kind of mental shift there of being like, it's just about me enjoying myself and having a good time and, like, you know, one person's opinion, whatever, has come with your results actually improving a lot of the time as well because you're enjoying it more? Or not?
No,
I'm thinking when you have that technical mindset and you're just thinking like everything has to be perfect, you could get in your own head and then maybe your performance would suffer.
Yeah, I think the thing about trying to get everything perfect, I still do that in class. Like, that's not taking away from me. I'm not there going, I just need to have a lot of fun. Yeah. I'm like, no, I need to work hard and this has to be great. And so there is that aspect of it is still there.
Uh-huh.
But in terms of competitions, I've worked really hard on my mindset over the past few years to go, well, it might not go my way and that's okay, as long as, you know, my mum and Sharon are sitting in the audience proud of what they're seeing on stage.
Yeah.
And that I feel great on stage, like, that matters to me. But there is still that strive for perfection.
Yeah. I mean, fundamentally as well, sometimes you're like, I'm getting to see a new part of the world. I'm getting to enjoy myself. And if I can make my people happy and I'm happy, mm-hmm. what a brilliant way to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And I've seen every corner of the world.
Tell me, where's the most exciting place that you've been?
Well, the World Championships in 2023 were in Montreal in Canada.
Fab.
So, and then in 2019, they were in Greensboro in North Carolina.
Wow.
So it's like places I never would have visited.
Yeah.
I've been to San Francisco, to LA, to Orlando, all corners, every bit of America and Canada. We've been everywhere.
Check out the impact, though, of Irish dancing.
I know.
Every corner of the world, yeah. People from the other side of the world are packing a case and going off and celebrating Irish dancing. Like, if you deep that, that is crazy, isn't it? It's amazing.
It's absolutely mental. Like, yeah. There's competitions in Dubai, there's competitions in Russia and Germany. Like, you get them absolutely everywhere now.
Wild. Do you think your mum's ever just sitting there going, oh, it's all worth it for the holidays?
I mean, even when she came to Montreal, she came to Montreal for a long weekend.
Stop.
So it's like these long haul flights. Yeah. And I mean, she didn't really see any of it. She saw inside the hotel
room. The conference
room
suite.
And the venue. Yeah. But, so I've been in every Premier Inn up and down the country. I tell you, there's some cracking ones.
Right, go on, best one.
People
have to know.
Newcastle Team Valley.
Right.
They've got the Premier Inn plus rooms.
And they're stunning.
Living a life of luxury. They've got the nice, it's kind of like this purple light set up. Honestly, the Newcastle Team Valley one's a cracking Premier Inn.
What an endorsement. We need to find some sort of discount code.
That's amazing.
Nah, but it's an important question. And it's, you know, you do get to see conference suites across the country. But I assume then that kind of cross-pollination of meeting people who are just as passionate about it as you and who have shared that experience of, you know, not getting used to failure, but accepting it and sharing kind of the joy when it does go your way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the acceptance of failure, obviously that translates into everyday life.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not scared of rejection. I wouldn't be scared to go and ask somebody something because I've faced that before and I've got through it. So it's absolutely fine. But then, as you said, when it's the good ones, it's when it's the celebrations, I'm surrounded by people that really care about it as much as I do. So it's fantastic.
And usually they're sitting in your front room, even if you're not in the house.
Yep.
Right, Laura, go on. What other things do you do to support your mental well-being? Maybe outside of the dance space and outside of the gym.
So I walk the dog a lot. I think get outdoors. I think it's absolutely fantastic for your mental health. See, speaking to friends and family, having open lines of communication. Even if it is about how you're feeling and stuff today, like if somebody texts you and goes, oh, how are you? Which I would get every morning from my mum when she's at work, how are you doing today? Rather than just being like, yeah, fine. Sometimes it's, oh, well, I feel like this because, and stuff like that. So open lines of communication with your friends and family are so important. Getting outside with a dog. Getting to the gym. I'm just.
I was waiting for it.
Exercise.
I said no gym.
I think exercise is just fantastic. Yeah. But having open lines of communication and see if you're feeling down for a certain reason. So say it's like comments on social media things. Mm-hmm. Getting rid of your phone for a day is absolutely magic as well.
So for you, Laura, it is slightly different because I think a lot of people that we've spoken to in this series have found their passion project or their sense of purpose during that lockdown period, which is possibly the only fortunate consequence of that horrific time. But for you, it sort of renewed your love for what you were already doing. And I wanted to know if there was anything positive that came from that chaos when you were sitting there trying to do dance classes on Zoom that made you think, you know, this moment of reflection is positive and there's something in this that I have learned that I should tell Laura 10 years ago when she was starting out.
Yeah, I suppose just, it's a bit cliched, but trust the process.
Yeah.
Like, everything in life happens for a reason. and whatever's for you won't go past you. So I wish I could go back and tell wee Laura so much, even if I went back to when I was 18.
Yeah.
And I've got no regrets about what I've done in my life at all. But there's so much that I'm like, if you started doing this earlier, it would make such a massive difference to your life sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that I've just let the process of life flow and it's went my way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, goes your way and sometimes it doesn't. But learning to cope with everything as well. So I would maybe say, you know, the world didn't end when you got that bad result. The world didn't end when we couldn't dance in the studio for a year. You'll come out the other side of it. And I wish I could go back and tell her that it would all be okay.
Yeah. Actually, better than okay. Let's have it right. You're doing really well.
It went all right.
You will have a lot of trophies soon, young Laura.
You'll have a lot of trophies and you won't be in your job anymore.
No, I know. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Just to think to go back and be like, just ride this out. Yeah. You're fine.
It is. It's like, just enjoy where you're at the moment, but don't worry about everything so much, because when I was younger I was dead anxious about things and worried about what the next 6 months would have in place for me, but I'm not like that anymore. I know that things will work out, they'll always work out, and with the people I'm surrounded with, I'll never be stuck in life. Like, that's the type of person I would strive to be, is somebody that makes sure that, if you know me, you're not stuck. Like, I'll help you out wherever I can. And that's the type of people I've got around me that will always help me out.
Yeah.
So it's always going to be okay.
You actually make me quite emotional to know that. Like, that was really, really lovely. And I think it is so important as well. And aside from kind of your mum and your dad's teacher, your pals as well, would they, like, in those moments, maybe when you were younger, would they be the ones to kind of pick you up and go, right, wise up, on to the next one, let's go smash it next?
Yeah.
And they still do that now?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got one of my closest friends, Declan, he's absolutely fantastic for that. And he's a dancer too. He's been on tour with Lord of the Dance and stuff recently. So he's
go Declan.
He's doing quite well, but he'd be very much critical when I need it.
Mm-hmm.
But my biggest cheerleader, even in rooms that I'm not in.
Laura, this conversation has been so fantastic and thank you so much for coming in and chatting to me. And thank you, of course, to everyone who's tuned in for listening. Remember, if you need help or support with how you're feeling, Young Scott has tons of information out there for you. young.scott/AYE, that's I, feel. Yes, we're very smart. If you want to follow Laura and see how she gets on at the World Championships in March.
Oh my goodness.
In Glasgow.
Oh my goodness, this is huge.
Yeah. Oh, your mum's like, I wanted another trip to Canada.
Oh, listen, she's booked one of the hotels up the road.
I mean, plus, stunning. Make sure you're following Laura. Laura, ending in a 4, so the A is a 4, Davidson 1. And don't forget, if you are under 26, then make sure you get your free Young Scot National Entitlement Card with thousands of discounts and subsidised public transport and a whole lot more. Have a little look. And you can also claim 100 Young Scot reward points for listening to this episode and using our very special code for Laura, which had to be DANCE. Naturally. Was that our gym?
Love it.
So that's it from me. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of This Is How I Feel. And if you have, then please rate, review and subscribe to us, which means you'll get instant access as soon as that next episode drops. You do not want to miss it. Looking forward to seeing you next time already. See you later.